Agricultural Services Group Cup Agri has seen annual revenue growth of over 23%. That's nearly 2% higher than that of pre-pandemic levels, largely driven by a bounce back in the group's fuel and convenience sales. Recurring headline earnings per share is up almost 22%, and this has allowed the company to more than triple its total dividend payout. While there are some risks facing the sector, Cup Agri says it remains acquisitive, and company CEO Sean Walsh joins us now with greater perspective on what's been produced. Thanks so much, Sean, for your time this evening. So we've had quite a few companies already starting to talk about a recovery and a return of profitability to pre-pandemic levels. Cup Agri amongst the lot here. Has the recovery been faster than you anticipated it would have been?
Evening, Alicia. Yes, most definitely. In quarter three last year, we had the April pandemic hit us, and by the end of quarter three last year, we were back to profitability, and it has been very much about survival and preparing ourselves to grow in the new year. And we now sit here with a divisional performance of 18% growth in revenue for our AgriMarks, 30% for our fuel company, and 38% for our grain services division. So it has been a remarkable recovery. And if you recall last year, we actually, including the COVID impact, actually grew revenue by 1%. So our two-year growth is now 24%.
Yeah. I want to home in on your star performer, and that is your retail-focused business units. Talk us through some of the shifts in consumer patterns you're starting to see right now and how that has been supportive. Because while those shifts come into play as the economy opens up, Sean, we've also got to consider the fact that we have had fuel price increases that must have contributed too.
Absolutely. So one does have this anomaly in that your fuel turnover is growing 26%, but the volume for our group has only grown 13%. So you've got revenue being driven by a fuel price, but you're not necessarily making more money because your volumes are still under pressure due to COVID restrictions on travel and changing consumer patterns, as you say. So we see that middle to lower income groups, they budget 100 rand a week to travel. They don't, when the fuel price goes up 20%, they don't have another 20 rand to spend for that week on their petrol. So they still only fill up with 100 rand. And you therefore see that your volumes come under pressure. Other consumer patterns which have definitely changed are that at our AgriMark shops, the consumers are shopping less, but shopping a larger basket. Whereas in the convenience stores at the retail filling stations, we are seeing that more regular fill-ups, but less regular visits to the convenience store to buy cigarettes. So there is an apprehension from consumers to actually even get out of their cars in the old fashion that they used to pre-pandemic levels.
So what kind of shift does this trigger as far as your strategy is concerned? Because it goes then beyond just a work from home dynamic coming into play.
Yes, I think we are fortunate that our diversified footprint strategy is working well for us, and we've shown extreme resilience over the last year, given that we have a large level of our income coming from the agricultural retail activities, and therefore being very strong in agriculture with a very positive agricultural outlook, the pandemic has not affected that side of our income stream. Whereas on the general retail, again, from a diversified point of view, we are more in the building material industry, and that has been recovered since September-ish last year. Mm-hmm. So we are fortunate again in that our diversified footprint has delivered strong resilience. So yes, the convenience sector is under pressure, but fortunately we've got a balanced income stream.
So that's supportive and providing nice cushion for now. What are the risks you start pricing into the equation, specifically on the agri side of things, Sean, because you're having to contend with challenges like rising input costs and the extent to which you're able to pass them on to the consumer or absorb them for that matter?
Yes, it is an unfortunate reality in the agricultural value chain that the final level of input cost and exchange rate differences and interest rates unfortunately always rests on your farmer, which really impacts at the end of the day his income streams and therefore his ability to spend with you again. So I do not foresee a high level of ability for businesses to pass on their prices to consumers. It will probably have to be passed backwards in the channel. And therefore you find that businesses like us would benefit from higher prices in the short term, but obviously it affects the spending capacity of your consumer or your customer in the longer term. So it is a short term a concern. Sure, we must remember that in 2008, fertilizer prices doubled, and by early 2009, they had halved again. Mm. And the current fertilizer input prices are being driven more by logistical challenges than availability of fertilizer per se.
Let's look at those logistical challenges. How's that hampering the markets you're actually able to cater to? Because it's coming to bear on your export potential.
Yes, so our agricultural farmer exporters are directly impacted by the ability to export grapes and fruit from South Africa to the UK. And if our ports are not effective enough, then they can't always get the ships to even stop at Cape Town, for that matter. And we are continuously identifying risks in that vein, in that ships are actually passing Cape Town and rather docking in Maputo. And it is impossible to get your product to Maputo to export. So it is causing havoc for us, and we hope that the government and private partnership and focus on the port effectiveness will bear fruits for us and that our fruits can actually be exported.
Yeah. Looking at the state of play right now within the scenario, Sean, you've got Kaap Agri may be tripling its dividend for the full year period, but you highlight the fact that you've taken a very prudent approach to capital expenditure. So where exactly are you putting CapEx or capital to work?
So about 2-3 years ago, the analysts will recall that we were spending 250 to 300 million a year on network expansions. We've curtailed that in the last 2 years to between 100 and 150 million capex expenditure per year. It might be slightly higher going into the new year. About 30% of that is being spent on replacement capital. And the other 70% is being spent on expanding the network. We have some pipeline sites coming in the new year and additional shareholding that we are purchasing in one of our subsidiaries in Natal. Mm-hmm. I think still a continued debt reduction moving into the new year, and we are comfortable that our cash flow will cover our capital expenditure in the new year.
Sean, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Kaap Agri's CEO, Sean Walsh.